Today on Real Radio.
And we encourage one another to pray. Why? Because God is waiting. He's listening. He wants to hear. And so when we pray, we don't need to be defeated, but we need to be encouraged. So often we enter into prayer and we're already defeated before we go. And that's not the way to go.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? Lessons that explore how Scripture answers questions about the lifestyle choices of the believer. Pastor Jack is in a mini-series called, Why Should I Pray? And today, we'll hear part three, where he emphasizes that prayer is our primary connection with our Maker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now continuing his mini-series that answers the question, Why Should I Pray?
And that's where we're at this morning. Why should I pray? And again, we are in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, where there the Bible says, Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. That is the preaching of Peter on those southern steps of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. They're there today. You can stand on them. We preached a message right on these very steps, except we didn't have 3,000 people added to us that day. Verse 42 goes on and says, And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, plural, note that. Then awe or reverence or fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. That's a good thing. And they had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and in the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so now we look to this, verse 42, that they continued steadfast in prayers. They were a praying people. They were a praying church. Early on, the church knew from the very beginning, and we saw last time with the apostles and the disciples learning how to pray. Right from the beginning, they saw Jesus pray, and then they said, Master, teach us to pray. They enjoyed it. They were excited about it, that there was a connection between heaven and earth that they can embark upon an experience. And so we remember that we saw that prayer introduced us to God. And we looked at three things. Number one, how prayer introduced us to God is that every human has a desire, or at some point in time will have a desire to cry or call out to God. And we made a strong point about how even the atheist who doesn't know God, doesn't even believe in God, how when the atheist is in his moment of crisis, that deep-seated, lost soul that he is will have a cry that will come out from the depths of his belly, from the depths of his gut. In his moment of peril, he'll cry out and say, Oh God, help me, even though he's an atheist. He may be a Darwinian. He may be someone who believes in evolution. But when it's all said and done, he'll cry out to God in his moment of terror or panic. It was said by Billy Graham in all of his years of ministry, he said, I've never once yet met a true atheist. Because when the chips are down and everything comes crumbling and life's falling apart, man will cry out. Why is that the case? And we studied about how down inside is an ancient residing ember of what once Adam and Eve enjoyed in the Garden of Eden. It's been handed down through us that there's this concept within us that God somehow may exist. And you may be entertaining that thought, or maybe you're in a moment of crisis, or maybe this morning you're saying, you know what, none of that's going to befall me. I'm the controller of my own life. I'll do my own thing. And I understand that thinking. I remember thinking just like that, but God has his way of pulling the carpet right out from underneath your feet. It may not be carpet, though. It could be something else that gets your attention. But we have this desire as a human to call out to a greater power. The key is to know who that power is. And then we saw that we're introduced by prayer into God because we learned that God is willing to hear from us. That's encouraging. God wants to hear from us. He wants us to pray to him. And we encourage one another to pray. Why? Because God is waiting. He's listening. He wants to hear. And so when we pray, we don't need to be defeated, but we need to be encouraged. So often we enter into prayer and we're already defeated before we go. And that's not the way to go. Well, why is it such a bummer to you? Because you've had a horrible prayer experience. Why is that the case? Why would you say, I don't think God answers prayer? Well, wait a minute, I want to argue with you. I know he does. In fact, I know that the prayers he hasn't answered is either my fault or I asked something stupid. You know that kind of prayer. Oh, God, if you just bless me with that Ferrari, I'll take kids to church in it, you know? Every Sunday, I'll drive kids to church. You can only get two people in it. But God, just give me that Ferrari and I promise I'll dedicate it to you. God goes, not. Or maybe I'm praying for something or about something that God has no desire to back whatsoever. I think I'm going to start a business. Or I think I'm going to invest in that company. And you pull out your check and you write out a check and you send it or you invest it or whatever happens. And come on, I got a board together. I've got money together. We're going to go embark upon this great entrepreneur trip. It's going to be wonderful, this journey. And you get halfway down the thing and it's rolling. And then none of the bills come in 30 days later and you got to pay for stuff. And then you say, oh, God, help us. Lord, will you bless this? And God says, I'm not getting anywhere near that thing. It's a bad idea. It's going to flop. And a lot of people live like that. We get going on something and then say, hey, God, get on board. Come on. It'll be great. And God says, I'm not getting within 100 yards of that thing. Many times we do that because we fail to seek God in the direction that we're going. Ronald Reagan made a great statement at the presidential prayer breakfast years ago. Someone had gotten up. Every president, by the way, if you don't know, every president has in February the presidential prayer breakfast. I had my wife and I the high honor to attend one of those prayer meetings with the president. It was tremendous. It's very wonderful. But one of the guys got up and said, God, we ask you to get behind us and to strengthen us as a nation and to go before us. And everyone's going, amen, yahoo, you know. And then Ronald Reagan got up and he said, and he was the president at the time, he said, well, wait a minute. It's not important if God gets behind us. What's important is that we get behind God. That's the important thing. God, you lead. God, you guide. God, we'll follow. Jesus said, once he rose from the dead, the angel made the announcement. He says, go into Galilee, for the Lord has gone on before you. And that's true about every spiritual thing in our lives. You don't need to raise your hand, but if you're a Christian in here this morning, that's how we live our lives. The Lord goes on before us, and so we follow. And it's a beautiful thing because you may be a leader of a group. You may have influence in your community. You might be a business owner or operator, whatever the case might be, and you're the leader. You're the CEO. You're the president. You're it. And yet the greatest way to be a leader is to learn how to be a follower. The greatest followers become the best of leaders. King David could tell us a story about that. But maybe you have great influence in this community. And that's a great thing. And I know many of you do. Some of you are holding political office in this area. What you need to do is make sure that you're following Jesus and let the success be in his hands. That's very important. God is willing. And then God alone is the answer. We saw that last time. Now this morning, we'll get into our study. Point number one to our study today, why should I pray, is that as we looked at, prayer introduces us to God. Number two, and here we are today, number two, prayer connects us to God. Prayer connects us, jotted down, to God. And it's this way. We want to ask this question. How are we connected to God by prayer? That's really deep. You got to write that down. That's a deep theological question. See, we just threw up a prayer. There it goes. But how does it get up there? So what do you mean? Well, let me put it to you like this. On what basis does God answer prayer? You think he's just like Santa Claus sitting up there waiting. Well, if they just ask, I'll give it. No. You think prayer is somehow a vehicle by which we get our will done? Hey, God, this is what I want. No. on what basis is God even putting himself in the position to answer our prayers? Have you ever thought about that? You need to think about it, because if you think about it biblically, it's going to give you a lot of encouragement. I'll tell you why. If it's whimsical in a non-biblical view, you're going to think of things like this. God, answer my prayer because I've been really good this week. God, answer my prayer because I'm an American. You know, everyone thinks God's American. He's not American. God, do this because. Why do we think like that? We've always thought like that. And it's so funny, because when our kids come to us thinking like that, we can spot it a mile away. You know what I'm talking about? When they come up, you know, and they're little. Hi, Daddy.
Well, hi.
I love you. I love you too. You know something's coming. Daddy, you don't want me to be embarrassed, don't you?
No, I don't.
Mm-mm. I would never want you to be embarrassed. So, you know those shoes at the store? Those ones for $125,000 that all my friends have? You gotta have them to be really cool, you know? So can I have a pair of those? No, you may not. Don't you love me?
Sure do.
Aren't I your little girl?
Yes, you are.
Well, why can't I have the shoes? Because you know what? We don't have $125,000 for those Air Jordans or whatever they are, and you're not going to get them, because you know what? We can't afford them, and even if we could afford them, it's a bad thing. Because you know what? In about a month, you're going to be, your foot is too big. You grow. You're not going to get it. And we do that with God. Hi, God. You love me, huh?
Yes, I do, he says.
And I'm your little Jack, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Oh, that's good. You know, God, everybody else has got one. If I could have one of those, that'd be great. And God says, no. I thought I was your little Jack.
You are.
I thought you loved me. I do. But we come to God with this thing about prayer that will somehow work enough good efforts, and then he's obligated to answer prayer. Not true. He's not bound by any standard whatsoever to answer our prayer except one. And that is on the basis of the merit of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is our high priest. We go directly to him, says the scripture. We consult him. And so how are we connected to God by prayer? Is that we are connected to God by prayer on the basis of the merit of Jesus Christ. Now that's encouraging, because it's not my merit, you see? I can say, Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would bring peace to my home, or bring a healing to my home, or bring blessing to my home. On what if God were to say, on what basis do you want me to bring this peace? On the basis of your Son, on the basis of what Christ did on the cross for me. Father, can you imagine if we just dialogued with God that way? Would you dialogue with him using your Bible? Then you're going to win your argument, which God in the beginning wanted you to win anyway. Or will you say, well, because I just want it, that's why. You're going to lose. But when you say, you know what, Lord, I'm asking for your will to be done in my life. And then God will say things like, really? Yes, Lord, I do. Will you give all of your life to me? Yes, Lord, all of my life to you. Will you give this area? Yes. Will you give this area? Yes. Will you give this area? Yeah. And God says, good, right there, let's go to work on that. I give you my life, we told him. And God will answer prayer, our prayers, in accordance with his will, on the basis of Christ's merit. So that when we do pray, listen, this is encouraging to us spiritual weaklings. It's not like we think Billy Graham prays and boom, God answers. Oh, it's Billy Graham's prayer. Wham, God must answer. It's the prayer of Billy Graham, or it's the prayer of Charles Stanley, or Chuck Smith prayed, and boom, there's the answer. God doesn't go, hey, listen, whoo, there's Billy Graham praying. Man, write it down, that's really a great prayer. He doesn't do that. He doesn't grade any prayers. When that prayer is offered up to God according to his word, based upon the merit of Christ, God will answer prayer. You see, you and I are not always excited about the answer, though. You see older people, they ask God and then they leave it alone. Have you noticed that? They ask the Lord. You know, Paul asked three times, so they'll ask three times. And then they leave it alone. So, man, how come you're not stressing over it? I just learn over the years, leave it in the hands of the Lord. How can you do that? Because I learned over the years, leave it in the hands of the Lord. See, we want to manipulate and play and massage it until we think we're going to get God's ear to get the answer we want it to go. We want to stack the deck. I want a yes answer. Everybody wants a yes answer. We all want yes answers. Sometimes he says no. I can't stand, though, when he says, wait. Well, what's the answer? Wait. Is it yes or no? Wait. I don't like that one. You have to have patience, and this is the 21st century. We don't have that anymore. How are we connected to God by prayer? It's on the merits of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, now we can have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Man, doesn't that sound like the door is wide open for us to come and talk to God now? Are you guys awake? Yes. The door is wide open. We're connected to God based upon the merits of Christ. By the way, Jesus made it very clear. Ushers, guard the doors. Jesus made it very clear that if you're going to pray to the Father, you need to do it through the Holy Spirit in his name. Amen. There is no such thing as a prayer without it being in the name of Jesus Christ, says the Bible. Think about it. Well, Pastor, I don't like you for saying that. I didn't say it. I'm only telling you what the Bible says. Jesus says nobody comes to the Father but through me. Well, that's pretty narrow. Yeah, it is. Deal with it. That's what he said. You can ignore everything he said until the third day when he rose from the dead. Now you got to sit up and listen. And he said, nobody goes to the Father but through me. He said, when you pray, pray to the Father through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, and God will answer your prayer. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 7, if my word abides in you, you may ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Pray the Bible. If you don't know how to pray, open the Bible and start reading it and then make that your prayer. That is an effective prayer life, I tell you. You'll get more done in 2 minutes of that kind of prayer than an hour in the other. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And listen, every priest on earth stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Don't confess your sin to me. I didn't die on the cross. If you confess your sin to me or to some other pastor or to a priest, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, you're still in your sins. You have to confess them to God. And so the scripture says that even a priest who stands daily and ministers cannot take away anyone's sins. But this man, verse 12, who after he had offered himself once as a sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of God the Father, Jesus Christ. Man, no wonder why we should pray directly to him. What an exciting, liberating thing that is about how to pray based upon the merit of Christ. Not the merit of yourself or the merit of anyone else or the merit of the saints, but upon Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 9, in the famous, what we wrongly call the Lord's Prayer. Did you know that? We call Matthew 6, 9 the Lord's Prayer. That's not true. And the Bible doesn't say it's the Lord's Prayer, and neither did Jesus say it was the Lord's Prayer. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, it's in John 17. That's the Lord's Prayer. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to the Father for those who would follow him and believe in him. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it is what we would say today, we should say today, the recommended pattern for a man's prayer. It's the structure for prayer. Jesus says, in this manner, or when you pray, think of a structure like this to formulate your prayers. Say, our Father, which is in heaven. Think about who you're praying to. He's in heaven. holy be your name. And he goes through that wonderful instruction on the structure of prayer. He never intended us to walk around saying something like, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's not a prayer. That is not a prayer. He never said to pray that prayer. He said, when you pray, keep this in mind. When you talk to God, first consider, he's your Father in heaven, and he's holy. So you let your prayer be formulated somewhat around that, then move into the next, and then the next step, and then the next step. It's important to know, nobody wants to hear a friend say the same thing over and over again every day. They won't be your friend. You'll see to it. It's like, I don't want to even talk to him. It's all he talks about. Here he comes. Oh, brother. Watch. And you can like mouth him. And they're talking. It's like, You already know what they're going to say. Can you imagine? If you come to God in a personal relationship with Christ, after he died on the cross to open up the new, bold, and living way to pray, and we just come as our Father, how to be that name, the kingdom, the will be done. Our Father, how that. You think that warms the heart of God? You think he wants to listen to that? He doesn't even know what you're talking about because you don't even know what you're talking about. See, man, you're getting all upset about this. Jesus said, do not repeat yourself in prayer like the unbelievers do. He said that. Don't repeat yourself in prayers like the unbelievers do. You don't want to talk to your friend in a repetitious manner, and God doesn't want to hear us in a repetitious manner. Every day, is it not true that every day is a brand new life for us every day? It's a whole new world every day for us. And God expects to hear from you in that vibrancy, in that life. Not just going through a couple of these and a couple of those, and I've done my time in prayer. No, not at all. Listen, this is so very important. Mark this down. What prayer connects us to is, listen, what are we connected to practically when we do pray? When we're connected to God, what is the practical effect of prayer? Jot three things down if you would. Number one, when we pray, it opens us up to the will of God. You want God's will done in your life? Pray. Because until we pray, we're going to operate under our own will. When we pray, prayer brings us under the command of God's will. See, you and I were thinking, when we pray, we can get God to get involved in our deal. That's wrong. When I pray, that very supernatural spiritual event, in a practical way, is God positions me under his will and points me in a direction or in a pattern of thought or in a vision of ministry. We should go this way, or maybe we should do that. God will confirm it to you. The will of God. How are we connected practically? To the will of God. Number two, to the heart of God. This is fun. When you're praying and you have a life of prayer and you're nurturing it now, you've begun a life of prayer, it's growing, check your own heart and see if this is not true.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Pray? It's actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of lessons simply called Why Should I? Which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, I'd like to remind you about Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs every Wednesday night on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. You know, that's the beauty of his channel. No matter where you are in the world, you can join us right here for Pastor Jack's midweek study. Now, I get to just get a hold of my wife, get in the car, and go see Pastor Jack live, but you can join us on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m., West Coast time. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.